The days begin to lengthen. The air gets just a little bit warmer. But as they say, it's always cold in the bowl. The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And I'm Dan Goubert, and I'm a cereal deep sea diver of sorts, in that I go face first into the deep milk of the Marianas Trench to bring back all sorts of doubloons and buried treasures for you all to enjoy at breakfast.
Some literal treasure in this episode. We're going to talk about cereal news, some cereal reviews, et cetera. But I would ask that for the duration of this episode, you try to relax a little bit. This show is made for no reason other than to, well, one, educate people about the comings and goings of the cereal industry, obviously, but mainly for you to be able to relax a little bit and just give yourself permission to think about one non-stressful thing for 30 minutes, and that thing is cereal. I've got, fair warning, a little bit of a cold, but you know what? I got a mug of chai here with a little bit of brandy in it, and I'm ready to just unwind with some cereal. What about you, Dan?
Oh, you know, pretty much about the same. I'm feeling pretty healthy today, but
sure.
If it helps get into the spirit of cold cereal that we're talking about today, I could sort of feign some nausea or perhaps some discomfort. You can just sort of imagine that I'm in need of, you know, a nice warm bowl of oatmeal.
Let's dive right in to the milky waters of this episode's cereal news.
Well, are you ready, Justin?
Dan.
Because we've got a new SpongeBob cereal to feast
and
our eyes
our
upon.
And not our mouths.
Yeah, probably before I even say anything about it, because this isn't exactly what I'm thrilled about, because this is the third SpongeBob cereal to come out. It's Kellogg's Sponge on the Run SpongeBob cereal. So if you look at the history of SpongeBob SquarePants cereals, you can go back to about 2003 when the first just plain old SpongeBob SquarePants cereal came out, and this featured, little jellyfish pieces, like corn pieces, sort of, you know, looking like Cap'n Crunch, with marshmallows in the shapes of SpongeBob, Patrick, and pineapples. Then, for some reason, the intellectual property rights got transferred to General Mills, who released SpongeBob Fruity Splash cereal, which had little crunchy shapes like stars and yellow squares with a fruit flavor. But now Kellogg's is taking the reins back of this nautical nonsense and bringing us this Sponge on the Run cereal, which has the exact same marshmallows as the 2003 edition, but with these very boring sort of square multigrain pieces. Not like SpongeBob square,
no.
But like the exact same square that we saw in Finding Dory cereal and the original Frozen cereal and numerous other places where Kellogg's couldn't be bothered to, you know, be original in any sense. I'm not even sure if these are the same marshmallows, perhaps left over from 2003.
No, but it is hilarious that they, like, keep the molds, I guess, or the recipes for these marshmallows. The wildest thing to me about this is, and I will, of course, have to get a box because I have two kids that are obsessed with SpongeBob, but that square, that generic Kellogg's licensed square, is also not good. It's like not pleasurable to eat. If you're gonna put in filler there, just pick one of your other fine cereals to dump in. I even think like Corn Pops, right? Like pretend these are like SpongeBob after a big meal or something, just round SpongeBobs, post-water absorption SpongeBobs.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird to me that they have the technology to make multicolored Marbits that, you know, uncannily resemble actual cartoon characters, but when it comes to the actual, you know, meat of the matter, they can't really get beyond basic geometry.
Yeah.
I just think there's so much infinite potential in the SpongeBob lore to, you know, bring some original flavor to the mix that we might not have seen elsewhere.
I want pieces that are all different parts of the Krabby Patty, and then you can stack them up on a spoon and call it a day.
Have you ever had those gummy Krabby Patties?
Dan, I ordered a literal box of them for my 2-year-old's SpongeBob themed birthday party last week, and they did not arrive until after the party. So the answer to your question is I have a gigantic box of gummy Krabby Patties.
Do they seal all the individual components separately?
Yes.
I'm just imagining absolutely. A giant bag of gummy beef.
No. They're all nicely packaged. I want to say this next item one time before you get to say it a lot, because I can't make heads or tails of it. Fruit Loops Peeps Pops?
Yeah, Fruit Loops Peeps Pops. Peeps Pops. Fruit Loops Peeps Pops.
That is how me talking about cereal sounds to my grandparents constantly, I bet. Oh, yeah, Grandma, Fruit Loops Peeps Pops. You know, Fruit Loops Peeps Pops, Fruit Loops Peeps Pops.
Yeah, I mean, they're Fruit Loops Peeps Pops. And so last time we talked about how there were these Fruit Loops chocolate Easter bunnies that came out that were like white chocolate with a right. bunch of Fruit Loops studded throughout.
And we had a listener, actually, a little bit of egg on my face, because they said that they sent us a picture of the back of the bar, and I had complained about there not being enough Fruit Loops in this bad boy. But if you look at the back of the bar that they showed us, there was a lot more. So maybe they had settled to the bottom or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, in true Fruit Loops fashion. But so these companion pieces to that bunny are basically just, you know, Peeps in rainbow colors, allegedly flavored like Fruit Loops, but then for whatever reason, they just kind of skewered them on this big sort of stick. I don't know whether you're meant to sort of chew around them mm-hmm. as if it's like a lollipop and lick them, or maybe just take them off one at a time from the top. I'm just not really sure where the original concept of a Peeps Pop came from. Was it just the alliteration that brought this product into existence, or
it's hard to say. I don't know. It's a very weird creation. I think that what we see, besides Fruit Loops being a very popular color, or sorry, popular flavor, the loops are also a very aesthetically pleasing combination. And I think that that's probably what like the Fruit Loops donuts that Hardee's had is sort of trading on. Like, just they're aesthetically pleasing to look at in a stack.
Yeah, I just think that it's a thing, like, if I'm ever actually eating Peeps, I'll probably, like, eat one and then, you know, kick the rest beneath my bed until they, like, mm-hmm. mineralize, which is actually something that happened that my dad won't let me live down, but I've never been in the situation where I ate a single Peep and wanted to continue down perhaps an entire stick's worth of
them. Yeah.
This might just be a trick to encourage people to eat more Peeps than they would regularly eat.
Which is any number higher than one. Any integer above one. Let's wrap up the news with another Lucky Charms crossover.
So this one sort of came out of nowhere, too. This is Swiss Miss Hot Chocolate Mix. Or, I'm sorry, Hot Cocoa Mix. I'm not sure I necessarily know the difference.
Cocoa doesn't have to have chocolate in it, I bet.
But Swiss Miss Hot Cocoa Mix with Lucky Charms marshmallows. I'm sorry. I just sort of had a buffering moment where I tried to say Peeps Pops and Swiss Miss in my head at the same time.
It's impossible, yeah. Your brain will melt.
This is basically exactly what it sounds like, where they will give you this cocoa mix with little Lucky Charms marshmallows in it already. I'm curious to see whether these are actually full-size Lucky Charms marshmallows or the miniaturized Lucky Charms marshmallows that we saw in Canada-exclusive Lucky Charms oatmeal a few years ago.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I will say they look... I've always enjoyed that. For some reason, when I think about hot chocolate, this is like the classic look to me. Like rainbow-colored marshmallows. We must have had it around our house at some point. But it definitely, like, is appealing, I think.
Are you not a little worried that, like, melting rainbow marshmallows into something that's already brown might look sort of like an iridescent oil slick?
Because
that's the only thing I can picture in my brain right now.
It's all going down the hatch, Dan.
I've never really been much of a hot cocoa expert, because when I was a kid, I would just microwave chocolate milk and call it a day. And let me tell you, that is a bad idea, because you'll get to the bottom and there'll just be this, like, nucleus of lukewarm disgust. And that's really all there is to it.
Now, Dan, I don't think I've gotten enough of a chance to talk about it on this show, but I think that, though it's not my favorite cereal, for pure deliciousness, just pure childlike glee of eating a cereal, in my book, it is very hard to beat Fruity Pebbles. I think it just takes me back, more so even than some of the classics like Fruit Loops. Fruity Pebbles is, to me, like the purest, you know, straight from the vein consumption of cereal. So the idea of a new variant of the Pebbles line fills me with a lot of glee. So I'm hoping it stacks up.
I mean, I would definitely curb your expectations for these magic Fruity Pebbles that have recently come out. I will say that there is a hot pink box, which is very cool, and the Fruity Pebbles themselves are also pink. The main gimmick being that they turn your milk blue. It's kind of bold in the year 2020 to make that the whole crux of your limited edition cereal offering, given that that's kind of been a gimmick for the past 30 to 40 years.
Pink changing things blue is pretty rad.
It's interesting. Just right off the bat, I will say that these do not taste any different from normal Fruity Pebbles, but
okay.
It is fun that when you do pour milk on them, sure, these sort of tiny cerulean crystals creep out of every single pebble and do indeed turn the milk this sort of ethereal blue that you'd imagine like the surface of Neptune to be like. It's very cosmic in a sense, and it's like dazzling to look at to the point where, you know, when you're done enjoying it from a sheer aesthetic standpoint, it's probably already soggy.
Yeah, it's still, I bet it still tastes good though. I mean, it tastes like Fruity Pebbles.
You know, I think I've mentioned on this show before that I'm not the biggest Pebbles fan, because it basically just feels like the equivalent of a grazing cow sort of chewing on something, yet it does not really impact my stomach or stomachs in any sort of tangible way. But I do like a cereal that puts on a show, and I think this one might be worth it for the sheer novelty alone.
Well, worth a try then. What about our next product here? I've been curious about this one.
So this is the one that I was excited to get to, because I have just a lot to say about Fruit Loops Pop-Tarts.
Okay, I'm ready. What better venue?
Let's start with the basics. I get the overall feeling when looking at this product that this whole operation came together in under 24 hours. Because first of all, they're not even called Fruit Loops Pop-Tarts. They're called Pop-Tarts with limited edition Fruit Loops flavor. That's kind of just emblazoned on there with sort of an afterthought badge. So it already doesn't fit into the broader Pop-Tarts canon. And the actual packaging design, it's a bit uninspired as well, because I don't know if you've noticed recently, but Toucan Sam is a bit anatomically inconsistent in that, you know.
Yes, you're talking about the variation between feathers and fingers, eh?
Yeah. I think it's sort of worth noting that on the exact same box of Fruit Loops Pop-Tarts, we see Toucan Sam on the front gripping this Fruit Loops Pop-Tart with his feathers, which already feels a little unhygienic, but you look at the back, and now there's this much cruder sort of CGI Toucan Sam with his man hands again. And he's pointing at this example of something you could post on Instagram to show off the 6 unique designs that come on these Fruit Loops Pop-Tarts, which include, you know, actual Fruit Loops, a bow tie, Toucan Sam, and these Fruit Loops with eyeballs in them that I guess you're meant to hold up to your face like glasses. Because you see this fellow on his fake Instagram account holding up a Fruit Loops Pop-Tart with glasses to his eyes with the caption, "Caught turning class outside into chill outside."
And wow.
As someone who works as a copywriter, I can't fathom how that's the most creative thing they could come up with. Even if it's just an Instagram caption within a Pop-Tarts box, you couldn't just say, like, "Class outside's throwing me for a loop."
There you go. Or, now you're talking.
"Excited to pursue the fruit of knowledge with something. Class outside. It's just, I haven't even gotten inside the box yet, and I just had these thoughts swirling inside of my head. But when you get to the actual Fruit Loops Pop-Tart itself, it's pretty good. I must question, again, aesthetically, why they did these printed designs instead of just giving us little Fruit Loop sprinkles, or perhaps a dazzling sort of glaze, or perhaps drizzle. But the inside tastes chemically spot on, like an imitation of Fruit Loop cereal. I think the crust and the icing really take a back seat to the filling here, because it's very potent. It's like trying to get the entire Fruit Loops experience conveyed in like a half second of taste bud touchdown. So it's very visceral in that if you try to change the temperature of it, whether that's toasting it or freezing it, it's just kind of uncanny, because I don't really eat hot Fruit Loops and I don't really eat frozen Fruit Loops. So it's just kind of bending my brain in sort of different directions of sensory bedlam.
You're not used to these things being cold. I feel like I really don't enjoy this printing on Pop-Tarts. I feel like it's the equivalent of this sort of generic marshmallow cereal thing that we've been talking about a lot lately. Like the Spider-Man Pop-Tarts for the most recent film, I was kind of excited about, but it's literally just like pictures of Spider-Man printed on a Pop-Tart. I mean, it's in no way inspiring.
I mean, isn't pictures of Spider-Man what it's really all about?
That's true. I mean, I love a good picture of Spider-Man, for sure. But I have so many high-quality glossy JPEGs saved on my hard drive.
You know, that's exactly it. I was about to bring up glossy JPEGs again, because these don't even look like the highest quality pictures of Fruit Loops that you could put on an actual consumer packaged good. They're just like,
yeah,
I don't know if it's the process of screen printing them onto a pastry, but it's like a little bit blurry, a little too small, slightly artifacted. I don't know. It's like you could have just done memes at that point.
Yeah. No, I would love that. Love a good meme. Bring us home, Dan, with a positive review. I know. I can sense it. I can sense it coming.
Caramel Snap Crackle Poppers are good. They're good. If you recall the Snap Crackle Poppers line, they launched last year. These are basically like hyper-miniaturized Rice Krispies treats in cubic form that are then glazed in additional flavor. They originally came out in vanilla, chocolate, and cookies and cream. The cookies and cream being far and away the best out of all, even if they spell cookies and cream in the most annoying way for a cereal blogger to, you know, keep consistent with. I just don't see why they can't use ampersands. That's all I'm saying. But now they've come out with the latest entry in the series, which is caramel. I think it's a lot more basic in its execution than something like cookies and cream, which had levels, you know, layers, like ogre-like layers. But this one is distinctly like caramel corn, these Snap Crackle Poppers. If you've ever, you know, had a handful of caramel corn and wished that you could be chewing it for like three times as long, I would definitely recommend caramel Snap Crackle Poppers, because they're very golden sweetness, you know, really just sort of lingers on your tongue and a little bit, the perfect amount of just, I don't know, kind of the perfect snack time caramel. This isn't something I would eat for breakfast, of course. Mm-hmm. Certainly nothing I'd put in a bowl with milk, but I'd say it's right up there, tied with chocolate, for the second best Snap Crackle Poppers flavor.
Wow, huge.
And then you could also just eat one of each at the same time and probably, I don't know, blow your own mind.
Every week on the Empty Bowl, we ask you, our beloved listeners, to answer a simple question. You call into our voicemail, and you're kind enough to oblige us with an answer. Dan, can you remind me and our dear listeners, what was our question for this week's episode?
So this was our attempt at cereal tourism, in a sense. We asked, what your favorite non-American cereals are. So from around the world, we got some pretty interesting responses.
Well, let's hear those now.
Hello, Justin and Dan. I, too, am a Dan, and I'm from South Africa. We do porridges well here, and one of my favorites is malted sorghum. It's produced by Bakomo under the brand name Maltabela, and available generically as Mabele. Either way, you serve it piping hot with salt, butter, milk, and sugar. The result is musky, malty, mapley depth of flavor, and a truly comforting bowl. But I wonder, do porridges fall within your cereal bailiwick?
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Josh from New Zealand. Down here, we have a cereal called Honey Puffs, which is, as the name implies, a puffed wheat cereal that is then lightly covered in honey. I find that the sweetness of the honey blends quite well with the smoothness of the milk, and the wheat gives it a nice, chewy texture. It's not quite as sweet as most American cereals, so it is a quite nice way to start the day, and good for when you just want something that doesn't really overload you with sugar.
Hello, Dan and Justin. I currently live in South Korea, better known to fans of this podcast as the Land of Oreo O's. Despite my constant proximity to Dan's all-time favorite cereal, my favorite international cereal is Sainsbury's Raspberry and Yogurt Crisp from the UK. Despite being a store-brand cereal, this stuff packs a flavor punch I've never experienced in another cereal. It features whole dried raspberries, which brings tartness to every bite. And they balance this flavor out with something I believe they call yogurt chips, which are really more like white chocolate chips, a component I know Justin has called one of his favorite mix-ins. Finally, the base of this cereal is chunky, toasty granola. I hope that if you ever happen to spend time in England, that you get to try a bowl of this delicious cereal.
Well, let's go back to the first question. Thank you for your responses. Real quick, what do you think about porridge or hot cereal?
I mean, I've always seen hot cereal as sort of a valid, you know, coexisting sister to cold cereal. I have much less experience, I would say, in reviewing various hot cereals. I don't think I've done too much porridge in my time, outside of maybe fairy tales, but I think it's a very interesting medium to explore in these winter months, especially like where I'm living, because nothing feels better than like a warm bowl of grits hitting your stomach.
You know, I can still mess up some cream of wheat.
Yeah?
For sure. And cocoa wheats too have their place. Absolutely. I have even at sometimes enjoyed hot grape nuts. I know.
How does that work?
You just put it in the milk, and then you heat it up in the microwave, and it like absorbs more of the milk as it heats, and it makes a sort of porridgey type product. I don't know. I mean, it's not any more like grapes or nuts for that.
It just sort of, you know, defies Newtonian physics, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's good, though. It's worth trying. We have a few questions from y'all that I would love to take a crack at, Dan, if that's okay by you.
Hold on.
Before we move on, yeah. Oh my gosh, how embarrassing! You need to impart a question, a new one, for our listeners to call in with answers to.
I mean, I've done the last several. Do you happen to have one burning on your mind?
Give me a second. What animated world or non-animated, what licensed world do you think would make the best cereal? And sort of how would you design it? That's what I'd like to hear about.
Interesting.
We've had so many uncreative attempts at this from big cereal. I'd love to hear what our listeners have to say.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from small cereal.
From small indie, so independent that
DIY
they don't even make their own cereal,
cereals.
Right? Here's our you can send those to bowl.rest. If you head over there, you can find a little link that lets you send us a voicemail. And the button just says message. You click that, and you can send us a voice message. It's great if you can plug in a microphone. You know, the better the quality, the better it is. But just all we ask is that, more importantly, you keep it cool and relaxed and smooth so it doesn't wake our dear listeners up who may have drifted off. That is also where, by the way, as long as we're on the point, you can donate to the show. We really appreciate that. Half that money goes to keep Serialistly.net going, and the other half goes to a local food shelter here in Huntington, West Virginia. So if you can donate to the show, even like 99 cents a month or all the way up to 10 bucks a month, whatever you can do, we really appreciate it. So our questions for this episode. I've been watching too many ASMR videos, and I find myself, I don't want to dip down into that territory where everyone's just whispering and pretending you're at the optometrist. Dear Justin and Dan, I recently saw a Reddit post where someone had found 6 frosted mini wheats that hadn't gotten cut apart at the factory. It reminded me of the golden time that I found a mouthful-sized nugget of Cinnamon Toast Crunch coating as a child. I still remember the way it melted in my mouth and tasted like pure heaven. What's the most exciting cereal manufacturing era you ever had the pleasure of pouring into your bowl? And that is from Lauren. I have one that actually springs to mind from fairly recent. Although I think this is a category. Anytime there's like a oat cluster kind of deal, especially I'm thinking right now of Cheerios Oat Crunch. Anytime there's like an oaty cluster kind of thing, whenever you get an abnormally large one of those, it's always so good. It like has this real thick, hearty crunch and like a lot of cinnamon and sugar. It's always a highlight.
I would say that something like that you need to be dentally ready for.
Sure, right.
If you know, just sort of plowing through a bowl of Cheerios Oat Crunch, because why wouldn't you?
Sure.
You know, listen to your teeth if you feel something about to go down. Just impart that extra force. But mine's a little opposite to that, because it's a very niche example where, if you remember that Lucky Charms did that marshmallows only contest where you could win a box of only marshmallows, I got one, and I don't even really remember why I opened it in the first place. I don't really know what I expected.
Right.
But you know, the back half of the box was literally just a single amorphous, just sort of hallucinogenically technicolored swirled blob of malformed marbit. And I don't know, I just kind of wanted to stick a battery and a probe in it and try to bring it to life or something, because that thing was beautiful. Certainly too like noxious to try and eat, but certainly a spectacle to behold.
Hi Dan and Justin, I have two questions for you. This is from Allison. When I buy groceries, I purchase the store brand for almost everything to cut down on costs, and I don't notice a difference at all. Cereal seems to be one major exception to the rule, though. I am rarely satisfied with the knockoff versions of my favorites, and even something seemingly simple like Cheerios tastes and feels completely different when it's made by someone other than General Mills. Why is that? And are there any store brand versions you've found that you actually like better than the original?
So my answer for this is, again, very specific and, you know, time-dependent, because this cereal does not exist anymore, at least from my experience, but it was Kroger Peanut Butter Chip Mates cereal. This was basically store-brand Cookie Crisp, but with an added, you know, sort of peanut butter patina that really just elevated it above anything I'd ever seen from an actual mainstream Cookie Crisp. So I don't really know why that one went away, but I think it just goes to show how behind the times Cookie Crisp actually is as a brand, when they're really only putting out, like, birthday cake, holiday sprinkles. Like, how many cookies are there, you know?
Really?
Like, I think there's big things for Cookie Crisp if they really want to push that envelope, as Kroger would show.
This isn't technically a generic brand, but I know a fella named Ludwig Kietzmann, who came over here from South Africa and delighted in all of our American cereals, and he swears up and down that the Malto meal version of Lucky Charms, which, do you know what it's called, Dan?
Marshmallow Mateys.
Marshmallow Mateys, which I think we can all agree is objectively a better name, is more delicious than original Lucky Charms. So
I would believe it. Yeah. I don't really know what the marshmallows look like in that.
They're kind of, I'm looking at a box now. It looks like we got some flowers and maybe like a an elf in a hat. I don't know. They're very obscure.
A definitely not leprechaun.
The other question from Allison, our show has revived some memories of the delicious cereals of my youth that I don't see on shelves anymore. Sprinkles, Spangles, Cinnamon Mini Buns, Alphabets with Marshmallows, the original Superior Berry Berry Kicks, Honey Nut Clusters, and more. What do you do when you're jonesing for a cereal that no longer exists? And that's from Allison.
I mean, I cope, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just we live in this cereal economy now where flavors as a whole aren't necessarily getting more creative. So you look back at all these relics of the past where imagination was blooming at the breakfast table, mm-hmm. and, you know, unfettered by FDA guidelines or budgetary constraints. But now you just kind of have to take your kicks where you can get them.
Literally.
Berry Berry or otherwise. I mean, it's always worth a shot, I guess, to go on Twitter and fire off some targeted complaints. I don't think you can really go wrong with getting your word out there. I know in the case of, like, the new honeycomb recipe they did, the sheer vitriol and angst that came from that formula change was enough to spark a petition that brought the original back. So if you're able to sort of magnetize a community around this particular cereal that you loved, I'd say nothing's impossible. I mean, we got Dunkaroos back, French Toast Crunch came back. I wouldn't necessarily give up,
yeah,
but again, temper your expectations.
I think it's a great reminder to just enjoy the moment. Enjoy the cereals when you have them, and of course, to treasure those memories and live in the now of cereal.
As much as there was a golden age of cereal, it just doesn't do us any good to live in the past.
That's so true.
You gotta look forward to fuller and emptier bowls alike. Mm.
It's beautiful. This show is called The Empty Bowl. It's co-created by me, Justin McElroy, and my friend Dan Gubert, who is the crunch maestro over at Seriously.net, a wonderful cereal review site that you should check out immediately for fuller takes on all these products. I really appreciate his friendship and his contributions to this program.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah,
I appreciate you as well. So as always, we'd like to thank Emily Loper for doing our editing, as well as Chris Zabriskie for providing the music, which is titled "The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow."
We certainly appreciate you listening, and we hope you will rejoin with us again next time. In the interim, if you would mind sharing our show with some folks, letting them, maybe just emailing an episode, say, hey, my gift to you is 30 minutes to relax and not have to think about anything other than cereal. What finer gift could there be? I can't think of one.
You could also just, you know, tweet at General Mills, like, hey, this podcast, they said that you should bring Sprinkle Spangles back. We're happy to lend any clout that we have towards that sort of effort.
I know our friend Gabe over at Cereal Time would be very thrilled about the return of Sprinkles Bagels. But that is going to do it for this episode. So until next time, for Dan Gubert, my name is Justin McElroy. And as always,
don't forget to drink
the milk. I got it in there. I hurried up at the end.
Always got to be first.